just to focus the beginning part of the year, and we'll just see how the Lord directs. 2 Samuel chapter 5. As you're turning there, as was mentioned, you see the announcements in the life groups. You got one on this one this week is for the families, parents or parent, young families. And then there's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, Warren, Clinton Township, and St. Clair Shores Life Group. If you haven't connected to one, do so. We'd love to help you with that and encourage you in that. Also, water baptism, we're planning one for the last Sunday of this month. What a great way to start the new year if you haven't been baptized in water. And if you have questions, or we'd love the opportunity to talk with you and explain that important step in the process of your spiritual journey. I trust that you are already, I know many of you are, we ordered 100 of these books and we've already, I think we're down to the last two. We have two left. And we ordered another dozen just for a few extras. What we're asking you to do is join us on a 31-day journey. Now, we're already 6 days into it, but you can easily catch up with just a couple of pages each day of reading and a scripture focus and an opportunity to just give you a guide to spend each day a little bit of time with the Lord, with a reading, a scripture reading, and a time of prayer. What a great way to start the year as we begin our year with a focus on prayer and on fasting and on giving as we challenge ourselves in the things of the Lord. I ask you to turn to 2 Samuel 5, verses 17 to 25 is our scripture focus for this month. There's also a parallel reference in 1 Chronicles 14, verses 8 to 17. And I told you last week, and I introduced to you last week, the theme for this first month of the year. And the simple word that the Lord dropped in my spirit is the word breakthrough. Would you say that with me? Breakthrough. Come on, say it again. Breakthrough. One more time. Breakthrough. What a strong word. As a matter of fact, it's a military word. And if we look at the definition and the meaning of this word, we shared this with you last week, but by way of review, breakthrough is a military movement or advance. I like this. Through and beyond. Not just through, but beyond. So it's not only through the adversity, but it's on to victory. The enemy's front line of defense, an act of removing or surpassing an obstacle, a barrier, the overcoming of a stalemate, a significant and sudden advance, development, or achievement. And we told you last week that we're believing God for breakthroughs. We're believing God to help us to advance this year, to move forward, to grow, to mature, to go beyond and through our adversity onto a victory. We all face adversity in life, but God wants to bring us through that and on to victory. We're believing God to remove and to surpass some obstacles and barriers and to knock down walls. All of us face situations where there's obstacles and there's barriers. And sometimes we run into a stalemate. We feel like in a relationship or in a situation in life where we've reached a stalemate and we just can't seem to make any progress in any direction. And that's what a breakthrough is. We're believing God to bust through stalemates and for us to advance and to become all that God has for us as we move forward into this year. Now, 2 Samuel 5, and we focus on verse 17. The Bible says that David was anointed the new king, and as soon as God anointed him the new king, the Philistines, the arch enemy of the people of God, already and immediately planned an attack and came up against David. And I want to say to you that we're only 6 days into the new year, and how many know the enemy hasn't stopped his attacking? And how many know he's already at work and he's busy and he doesn't want you to advance this year? There's an enemy and there are forces and factors in our world and around us that want to keep us from breaking through those walls and those barriers and from breaking through those stalemates and advancing into what God has for us. But the good news is this, is that while there's an enemy that's always at work against us, how many know there's a God who is also at work that is for us? And greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so while we know that adversity is going to come, we understand that. But we also understand that we have a God who's with us and for us. And the Bible says that David then came to Baal-perazim, and he smote the Philistines there. And he said this, "The Lord has broken through." There's that word perat that we talked about last week. He has broken through. The Lord has caused me to advance. The Lord has caused me to break through the enemy's line of defense. The Lord has caused me to break through into victory upon mine enemies before me as a breach of waters, or like water gushing and bursting through the wall of a dam. He says, therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And we told you that that name Baal-perazim means the God and the place of breakthrough. The God and the place of breakthrough. It literally means master of breaches. The master of breakthrough. The God and the place of breakthrough. I want to challenge us this morning that as we head into this year, to make that our focus. And let's believe God for our individual lives, for our families, and for this church body, that we will see breakthrough. And we will see God do amazing things in our hearts and in our lives. Now this morning, what I want to do is this week and the next 2 weeks, I want to introduce just a three-part message called The Steps to Breakthrough. The Steps to Breakthrough. There are three things in 2 Samuel 5 that David did that we can do to experience a breakthrough in our lives. So this morning, we're going to focus on the first step, and then over the next 2 weeks, we'll look at the other two steps for breakthrough. There's a story about a burglar who breaks into a home one evening. He's shining his light, looking for valuables throughout the house, when he hears a voice in the dark saying, "Jesus is watching you." Startled for a moment, he clicked his flashlight off and he froze. When he heard nothing for a few more moments, he shook his head and he continued to go through the house looking to take some valuables. Just as he was disconnecting the wires of the stereo, again he heard clear as a bell, "Jesus is watching you." Freaked out, he shines his light across the room, frantically trying to find the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, his flashlight beams on a parrot. "Did you say that?" he hissed at the parrot. "Yep," the parrot confessed, and then the parrot added, "I'm just trying to warn you, Jesus is watching you." The burglar relaxed, thinking it's just a parrot, and he says, "You're trying to warn me? Ha! Who in the world are you?" And the parrot says, "Moses. My name is Moses." "Moses," laughed the burglar. "What kind of people name their bird Moses?" The parrot replied, "The same kind of people who name their Rottweiler Jesus." Jesus is watching you. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with my message, but it's a great story. No, seriously, how many know that's not how you have breakthrough? You don't break in. How many know the way to experience breakthrough is we're not to do it in our own strength and our own power? We're not to try to break in and break through. Sometimes we take matters into our own hands and think, you know, I need a breakthrough, and so I'm just going to do something, even if it's wrong. And that's not what obviously the burglar breaking into a home is a wrong way to experience breakthrough and to get ahead and to advance. But listen, there are steps that we need to take. There are steps. And listen, breakthrough is not something that's going to happen if we just sit back and wait for it to happen. We have to go on the offensive. Breakthrough is a military term. It's an offensive term. It's a term that speaks of not sitting around, but it means taking spiritual steps. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, how many understand gates don't march? Armies march. And so it's not the gates of hell are coming against us. Gates don't march. We have to be on the offensive. It's us that have to storm the gates of hell. It's us that have, David had to attack and go on the offensive to experience breakthrough. And this morning, I want to introduce the three steps. We'll do step one today, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll do the other three steps. The three things that David did to experience breakthrough. Let's look at step one this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. David was anointed king. Word came out that the Philistines were ready to attack. So the Bible says the first thing that David did is when the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And by the way, the word Rephidim means giant or place of giants. And how many know Goliath was a Philistine and David was familiar with this? And David inquired. Say inquired. David inquired. He didn't read the National Enquirer. David inquired. The first step that David did, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistine? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord said to David, go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Verses 22 and 24. Then the Philistines came again and spread themselves in the valley. How many know the enemy's not going to give up so quick? That's why we have to stay on the offensive. That's why we have to continue to press into the Lord. David again inquired. Say inquired. David inquired of the Lord again, who said, thou shalt not go up this time, but compass about or surround about them and come over by the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of the tops of the mulberry tree, then you shall move thyself, for the Lord will go before you and smite the host of the Philistines. Now, I want you to notice the first step that we need to take that David took for breakthrough, and that is David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. And notice he inquired of the Lord twice. And notice each time he got a different answer. The first time he inquired, God said, go immediately. And then the second time when the enemy came back, he went out and he came against the Philistines and won a battle. And then he came back in and the Philistines came back. And David inquired again of the Lord. And as he inquired of the Lord said, no, don't go right away this time, but circle around and wait for me to tell you what to do. Can I say to you something important this morning? Is that this is the reason why we need to always inquire of the Lord first, before we act or do anything. There are gonna be times when God says, yes, go now, act now. And there are gonna be times when God says, wait. Wait for the right time and right for the moment. That's why it's important that we know the mind and heart of God before we act and before we take steps. Sometimes we can get ourselves into trouble by taking matters into our own hands. And so David inquired of the Lord. The first step for breakthrough is simple, pray. Pray. When it says David inquired of the Lord, is that he prayed. He set his heart and his mind and his life toward the Lord, and he prayed. Listen, when we pray, it brings breakthrough. Let me say that again. When we pray, it brings breakthrough. The first step, the first thing that David did was he inquired of the Lord. And notice it was important he prayed two times because he got the different answers. And it's important that we always check with the Lord. Just because God answered one way the first time doesn't mean he's going to answer the same way the next time, even if the enemy is the same or the circumstance is the same. That's why we need to first check with God. We need to first inquire of the Lord and to pray. Let me make this important statement. Prayer is not the only thing, but it must be the first thing. Prayer is not the only thing that David did. It's the first step, and we're looking at that. When we get to other steps that he had to take, it's not the only thing. Some people think, well, all I need to do is pray. No, pray is important, but how many know there's a point where then we have to do something beyond even praying? But prayer is the first step, and it must be first. And we see this illustrated in David because it's so important that we know what God wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do, what he wants us to say, what he doesn't want us to say, how he wants us to handle these situations. David inquired of the Lord. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalmist David, "One thing I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." One thing is most important, the first thing. This is my priority. It's not the only thing, but it's the first thing. It's the priority that I have for my life, and that I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. David said, the priority of my life is first to check with God. Now, how many know David had to leave the temple to fight battles to win? So it wasn't the only thing he did, but he said, my first priority when I face an enemy, when I face a situation, when I need to experience breakthrough, the first thing I need to do is I need to inquire of the Lord. I need to go to the presence of the Lord. I need to go to the house of the Lord. I need to find myself where God is, and I need to spend some time with God so that he can tell me what to do and how to fight the battle and how to win. One thing I desired, the first thing, the priority I desired, and that will I seek after, to inquire in his temple. How many know Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his right. Make sure God, and our first step is that we pray and we check with God and we inquire of the Lord. Now I want to take a look at this word inquire. In 2 Samuel 5, two times it says that David inquired of the Lord. And that word inquire in its root meaning means to ask, to demand, and to request. Now, they're similar actions about, but they're different and distinct in an interesting way. And I want to show you, and I'm going to show you three principles this morning. And we're going to look at these three principles on what it means to really pray. And what kind of prayer brings breakthrough? How many know not all prayers are created equal? How many understand we need to know how to pray? We need to understand what kinds of prayer. What does it mean to ask and demand and to request of the Lord? What does that mean? And how can we pray powerfully and properly so that we can experience breakthrough? Now, in Luke chapter 11, and if you want to turn there, you can. I want to draw a parallel to 2 Samuel 5 to Luke chapter 11. Because I believe Jesus gives us insight on how to pray properly and powerfully. How and what kind of prayer brings breakthrough. Jesus and his disciples, in verse 1, Jesus' disciples come to him one day and they say, Jesus, we watched you. And we notice that when you pray, things happen. We notice that when you pray, miracles happen. We notice that when you pray, blind people see. When you pray, lame people walk. When you pray, demonic spirits go. When you pray, miracles happen, things happen. When we pray, not so much. So Jesus, teach us how to pray like you pray. Wow. How many know that is my prayer as we head into this year and as we commit these 31 days, not only to read through the book and just to give us a guide, but to spend some time with the Lord praying and spending some time in our prayer time. I want to be able to pray like Jesus prays. I want to pray with the kind of power that Jesus prays. And they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus gives them three principles. And Jesus gives them three different sections in chapter 11 here of Luke 11 on how to pray properly and the kind of prayers that bring breakthrough. Now, I want you to understand that the word breakthrough is a military term. And the setting of 2 Samuel 5 is a military setting. And so I'm going to draw a parallel to the three principles Jesus taught in Luke 11, and I'm going to draw a parallel to the military arena to help us understand what real prayer is and the kind of prayer that brings breakthrough. So my points, the three points I'm going to leave with you this morning about prayer, are going to be in a military context. So notice this, the first one, the first thing that the word inquire meant was to ask. And I believe as we look at the next verses of Luke 11, what Jesus was teaching and what it means to inquire of the Lord in a military sense and in a sense of understanding what prayer is to report to our superior to ask for orders for our mission. What David was doing when he was inquiring of the Lord, when the enemy was coming to attack him, his inquiry was, I'm reporting for duty, God. Tell me what your orders are and what the mission is to take on the Philistines. How many can see that from a military parallel and see that in relationship to prayer? Can I say to you that prayer isn't just when I get in a jam, I tell God what I want. How many know for most people that's prayer? Prayer is like the, do we have them around here? We should have them around here. A thing on the wall that says in case of an emergency, right? Pull this lever. And the alarm goes off. For most people, that's what they associate prayer with. Now listen, when you're in an emergency, pray. Nothing wrong with that. But how many know if we limit prayer to just that, how many know we won't pray the best way that we can, and we won't pray the kind of prayers that will bring breakthroughs in our life. Prayer is not about telling God what I want. It's about finding out what he wants. Oh, come on. David didn't inquire of the Lord to say, Lord, I'd like you to smite the Philistines, though in his mind he was really thinking of bazookas. He was thinking of heaven, just send a lightning bolt. But instead, David inquired of the Lord. It means he asked the Lord, what are you going to do about this? Come on. That's what prayer is. Prayer is reporting for duty. When the soldiers get called to a mission, the first thing they do is they report to their superior and they show up for duty and say, yes, sir, we're here. What are our marching orders? How many know the soldiers don't tell the superior, well, this is how I'd like to attack that hill. Doesn't work that way. The soldiers report to the superior and say, I'm showing up for duty. I'm reporting for duty. What is your mission plan? What is your plan? What is your orders for me? And if we will approach that with God, and the next time you decide to pray, I want you to take that approach and say, Lord, when I come to you, I'm coming to you asking you for what you want. How many know God already knows what we want and what we need? We need to find out what he wants and what his mission is. Let me show you this in Luke 11, when Jesus taught how to pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And what did Jesus do? He said, after this manner, or follow this pattern. Now, when Jesus taught them a pattern and he taught them what we call the disciples' prayer, most people call it the Lord's Prayer, but whatever you want to call it, the truth is he said, this is just a pattern. This is a guide. So Jesus gives them a guide or a pattern on how to pray. He says, after this manner, you want to pray like I do? You want to pray with power? You want to pray for breakthrough? He says, after this pattern, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Your marching orders are what I'm asking for. You're the superior in heaven. You're the one in charge of this battle. You're the one who's in charge. I'm reporting to you. You are honored. You are great. What is your plan? How many see that? Jesus taught them, you want to pray the way I pray? Jesus went to his Father and said, Father, not what my will is, your will be done. That's the right pattern for prayer. To report for duty. our Father. Jesus didn't say that for us to just repeat that glibly. He said that to show us that when you pray, you go to God, you inquire of the Lord, you say, Lord, you're the superior, you're the great one who's in heaven. You're in charge. I'm showing up for duty. What do you want me to do? Not my will, but your will be done on earth. How many know that's how we should start our prayer? Oh, come on. Reporting for duty, asking our superior, what is our marching orders? What is our mission to carry out this battle and to win this battle and to win this victory? Notice what he says. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not only do we ask God for his plan, how many know we should ask God for his provision to carry out that plan? Then he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, ask God for pardon. Ask God to remove anything in our heart and anything that's holding us back. How many know unforgiveness is one of the things that will keep us from breakthrough? Amen. And he says, clean that out of your head. How many know when you go into battle, you can't be distracted with all kinds of other stuff in your mind and in your heart? You need to be focused on the mission. So he says, ask for his plan. Your will be done on earth. Then ask for his provision to carry out that plan. Then ask for his pardon to clear everything out of your head and heart so you can execute that plan. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then ask for his protection so that when you go into battle, you're safe. How many see that? How many just learned something? How many are going to pray different? Now, how many have ever heard there's a scripture in the Bible that says, ask anything according to his will and he'll do it? And people quote that and they loosely say, see, you could just ask God for any old thing, any old way you want. No, that's not what it says. Ask according to his will. When you pray, our Father, report to your superior, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, your will be done. When we know what God's will is, then you can pray for anything according to that will. According to that plan, not your plan, not you come up with a plan and then say, God, here's my plan, you make it happen. How many know that's how we usually pray? God, I've already figured this out. If you'll change my sister's heart and you will make sure that my boss over there does this for me, and if you will do this and if you will take care of that, everything will go well with me. That's my plan, bless it. How many know that's not praying? That's just talking to God about what we want. But when we report for duty and say, Lord, you're the superior. I'm the soldier. I'm reporting for duty. Your will be done. Tell me what your plan is. And then when I know what your plan is, I can ask anything within the scope of that plan. Oh, come on. You can't ask for anything outside of the scope of his plan. If it's not part of the superior's plan, we can ask for it, but it's not necessarily going to happen because we can ask according to his will. In other words, ask for the provisions according to the plan. Ask for the pardon according to the plan. Ask for the protection according to the plan. How many know if we pray according to his plan, we have what we ask for. Nothing wrong with asking God, but we have to ask for the right things. We have to ask for his plan, his provision, his pardon, and his protection. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's right to ask God for things, but we have to ask for the right thing, and the right thing is to ask for his will and for his marching orders for each mission. And notice two times David prayed and asked for his will, and God had a different plan each time. And how many know if David would have waited the first time and went the second time, how many know he probably would have lost? But because he followed God's plan, and he went when God said go, and he waited when God said wait, he was able to execute breakthrough in his life. The first principle of prayer and to inquire is to report to our superior. The second thing the word inquire means is not only to ask, but to demand. Now, I want to take a minute on this word demand, because there are some people who would take this the wrong way. They think that when you pray, you should demand, that I should go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I demand of you, you have to do this for me. You have to do this. I demand. That's not what he's talking about. How many know when a soldier reports to the superior and says, I'm reporting for duty, I'm asking for your orders for the mission. How many know the next thing he needs to do is he needs to demand, or he needs to requisition supplies to carry out that orders and that mission. To demand means we go to God and say, okay, God, I know that you want me, what you want me to do. Now you're going to have to give me the supplies, and you're going to have to give me what I need to execute this. So I'm demanding, or I'm asking of you, requisitioning the supplies. When in the military setting, when they requisition supplies, there an order is put in. And it's signed, and it has to be signed by the superior, and it has to be okayed. And the order, putting in the order, is a demand for certain supplies to carry out the mission. How many know not only do we need to know what God's will is, but then how many understand we need to then requisition the supplies that we need to make that will happen? Look at what Jesus went on to say. After he taught them the pattern for prayer in Our Father and so forth, he then, in verses 5 to 10, he then talks about the persistence in prayer, the requisitioning and the continual demanding or asking and the continually inquiring for what is needed to execute the mission. Jesus tells a little story. He says, which of you has a friend that shall go unto him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves or some food. I have nothing. He shall say, trouble me not, the door's shut, the kids are in bed, and I'm not going to rise up to get it. I say, though he will not get up, he will not give to you because he is your friend, but because of your importunity or your persistent demanding, he will rise and give it to you as many as you need. So ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Now, Jesus tells an important story about the persistence in prayer. Not only do we report for duty and ask God what he wants us to do and what his plan is, but then how many know, then we need to continually requisition to God and say, God, this is what I need to make that mission happen, and this is what I need for you to do. And so he gives us this little story. He says, you go to someone's house at midnight, a friend's house, and you beat on the door and you beat on the door and you persistently knock on the door. And he says, listen, everybody's in bed. I'm not getting up, so forth. He says, but he continues to ask and he continues to seek and he continues to knock. And he says, listen, at some point your friend is going to get up, not because you're his friend, but because you just keep persistently asking and demanding. And so I'm telling you, ask, seek, knock. And the tense of that verse, verse 9, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be given. The tense of those three action words are present active, which means it should read this way. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Just like in the story, if you go to someone's house at midnight and you got nothing and you need loaves of bread just to survive, you're going to keep knocking and you're going to keep seeking and you're going to keep pounding and you're going to be persistent because you want to make sure that you get what you need. And Jesus says that's how we need to pray. Once you know what God's will is, once you've reported for duty and you know what God's will is, then you need to be relentless and you need to be persistent and you need to continue to press into God and say, God, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking. You're not going to stop me. I'm going to keep doing it until you answer. What did Jacob do when he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord all night? He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. How many know sometimes, well, I prayed for 2 days. Okay. Well, I've been praying for 12 years. Okay, there was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. And if she'd have stopped, come on, There was a man who was on a bed by the pool all of his life. And one day Jesus showed up. Listen, I understand. I've been praying for some things a long time as well. I know there are some things that haven't happened as fast as one. But you know what? I'm still putting my requisition in every day. I'm still continuing to ask. I'm not going to give up. Some of us have given up on some of our dreams. Some of us have given up on some of our miracles. Some of us have given up on some of our breakthroughs. And listen to me. I want to encourage you to pick up your harp off the tree and start singing again and start praying again and start believing again and keep on asking and keep on seeking and don't stop asking and don't stop seeking and don't stop knocking until God answers. Amen. You know what I think sometimes, and listen, I'll be the first one to admit that you get worn out by life. And sometimes when you feel like you get less answers than you do get answers, and you seem like we lose more battles than we win, it's easy to begin to just say, okay, I don't stop believing, but I just don't believe as much as I used to. Come on, let's be honest. And that's okay, that's human. But you know what? There's a point where we gotta pick ourselves up and say, you know what? I'm gonna keep on asking. As if my life depends on it. That midnight, I have nothing. I'm going to starve. My kids and family are going to starve. And you're going to get up out of bed and you're going to give me those loaves. Because of his importunity. That's a word in the King James we don't talk about. Because of his persistent demanding. And saying, I need this and you can help me with that. Can I say to you, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. In Luke 18 and 1, Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not faint. Not give up. Not stop. Just keep asking. Keep seeking. And then in Galatians, he says, be not weary in your well-doing, in your praying. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. Listen, if you've given up in a particular area, then get back up and start asking again and start seeking again and start knocking again. Don't give up. Number three, to inquire of the Lord in the military sense, to pray, is not only to report to our superior for our orders and mission, not only to requisition supplies to carry out that mission, but then to request support. Request a support to be successful in the mission. Either putting a team together or getting the other backup soldiers and others together to carry out that mission successfully. To request support. Remember, inquire meant to ask, report to the superior. Demand, the persistence of requisitioning supplies, and then to request support. How many know we're not going to have our breakthrough all by ourselves? We're going to need some help. Even with God's plan and God's provision and supplies, we're going to need God's help and God's support. And aren't you glad he has support for us? Look at what Jesus says in Luke 11. He continues to go on. After he gives them the model prayer, the Lord's prayer, the pattern, then he gives them the persistence of knocking at the door. Then he tells them, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You know who our support is? What did Jesus say? I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He will come, listen, and he will stand right alongside of you. And he will be in you. And he will support you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will equip you. He will anoint you. He will be your support. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your prayer. You want a breakthrough? Don't pray in your own might and your own strength. Pray in the might and power and strength of the Holy Spirit. We report for duty. Lord, what do you want? What's your will? We requisition supplies. We're persistent in our praying. And then we request support. We ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you pray for me. You pray with me. You pray in me. You pray through me. Holy Spirit, you search and know the mind and heart of God. Holy Spirit, you help me, because it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we have breakthrough. We need to ask God for his support, the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul said in Romans 8. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us, supports us, stands with us, strengthens us, is our support team in our weakness. For even when we don't know how we should pray, even when you don't know what to say or what to pray, how many know there are times when we don't know how to pray? We don't know, do I pray for this or do I pray for that? If I pray this way, and what about this? Sometimes we don't know, and most of the time, if we're honest, we don't know. And if we don't know, that's when we need to say, Holy Spirit, you know, and we're gonna ask you for your support. The Holy Spirit will pray and make intercession for us according to the will of God. Because how many know the Holy Spirit is synced to the will of God we already asked and reported for duty to get? Just like your iPhone is synced to your iPad, listen, the Holy Spirit is synced to the Father when we report to God and we say, God, I want it coming for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know the Holy Spirit is synced with the Father's will and he knows the Father's mind and heart and he will pray for us according to that will and according to his plan and according to his purpose? What did Jesus say? Out of your innermost being would flow rivers. What happened when David smote the Philistines at Baal Perazim? It was like water, like a breach of water, like water bursting through the wall. Jesus said, he spoke of the Holy Spirit who would come to those that believe. Out of your innermost being would flow rivers, gushing waters that will burst through. Rivers of living water. Listen, when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we accept Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit in our life, that's when then we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit, surrender to his help and support, and ask him to pray in us, ask him to work it. And listen, as we keep asking him and seeking him and knocking and asking the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit will begin to rise up and rise up and rise up. And when that river, the river of the Spirit and the water of the Spirit rises up, how many, it will reach a point where it will just overflow and it will burst through into breakthrough. How many can see prayer is a little different than what we usually think of? Report for duty. When's the last time you prayed and you just said, Lord, I'm reporting for duty? What do you want? Usually we go with our list and we check it twice. Oh, that's last month. Lord, I'm reporting for duty. What do you want? Lord, I'm requisitioning supplies. I'm going to keep bugging you and I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to pray all the time and I'm not going to give up and I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep knocking until you give me that which I need. And then I'm going to pull in the support of the Holy Spirit. Because by myself I can't do it, but with you I can do all things. That's what it means to inquire of the Lord. That's what it means to pray. That's the kind of praying that brings breakthrough. We told you in January here, we've committed this month to these three actions. And this morning our focus is on prayer. You know about the fasting challenge, the Daniel challenge. We'll be giving you more information as the weeks come. Those who have done that with us in the past year, couple of years, you know what it's about. If not, it's something I want you to really begin to pray about and ask the Lord if that's something that he wants you to participate in. I'm going to challenge you that if we're going to see breakthroughs, that we will do that. And then, of course, giving. We ask you, and we told you that giving is another way that releases the power of God. When the little boy gave his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it took care of a multitude. And when we understand that we partner with God in that area, and that's not our focus this morning. Our focus is on prayer. And I want to tell you, we've got 3 opportunities for you this month. The first one is a daily opportunity to pray. That's what this book is about. It's not about reading a book. It's about having a guide, just like Jesus gave them a guide. Each day, setting up something that'll tell you, I'm going to take a few moments each day. I'm going to read those few pages, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord each day. I tell you, if each one of us will commit daily to praying, how many know if we do it for the whole month, it'll become a habit? And how many know when you start having a habit of prayer, things will begin to happen? The second thing is not only daily, but there's also the opportunity for us weekly. Every Sunday morning, there's a group of people that meet on the end room right outside these doors over here for prayer. From 9:45 to 10, I don't know, what time do you guys stop? Pastor Tammy's in there, Boomy, Rick, I know you guys facilitate. Pastor Rick's in charge of the prayer area there. The 9:45 to what time do you guys? 10:15, that half hour window. I want to tell you, I want to challenge you. You know what, if we have so many people show up next Sunday at 9:45, we'll put you in another place. We'll bust the wall out if we have to. We won't bust the wall out. Don't worry, Mark, I won't make cleanup mess for you. But we anytime, maybe you say, well, I can't get here till 10:10, then come in for 5 minutes. Come in for the last 5 minutes. They've been praying during that whole half an hour. And they're gonna be praying. I'm gonna tell you, that's an opportunity. Get connected to that. We want to build that ministry, but not because we want more people, but because we believe that prayer, more prayer and more seeking and more knocking is what's going to bring breakthroughs. And then there's a monthly opportunity, not only daily, spend time each day, not only the weekly on Sunday, but there's a monthly opportunity. The last Sunday of this month, the Sunday night, we're going to be hosting all of the churches in Warren for a prayer night from 6 o'clock to 7:30. It happens every month at different churches. It rotates in Warren. We just happen to be the ones that are hosting it in January. And again, Rick will facilitate that for us, along with the other pastors and other leaders from different churches. And I want to challenge you to commit that night. Mark that on your calendar and be part. So you have a daily, a weekly, and a monthly opportunity for prayer this month. And if we'll take that opportunity and commit ourselves to praying, and praying the right way, the way we're teaching this morning, I believe we're going to position ourselves for breakthrough. So as we close this morning and as we come to the table of the Lord, I want to ask the question I asked at the end of last week as we introduce this breakthrough series. What area of our life needs a breakthrough? Is it a physical area? Is it an emotional area? Is it a financial area? Is it a relationship area? What area of your life is your greatest enemy? How many know the Philistines was the people of God's greatest enemy? What is that one enemy that always seems to get the best of you? What is that one area of your life that always seems to rise up and get the best of you, and you just can't seem to break that habit, or you just can't seem to break through that stalemate? You just can't seem to bust through that area? What is that one area? I want you to commit that area to the Lord today. And I want you to believe with me for breakthrough.